You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. Everyone okay? Good? Good to see you. I didn't understand a thing from the pantomime, all the questions and stuff. So it's a good thing that I probably will be able to come to maybe laugh next time. Because like, what are they talking about? I have no idea. Yeah, so good. So good to be back after our International Sunday. Who was here on our International Sunday? Yeah, my wife, she's asking me, please, can you stop listening, Jesus, yay. Because I was listening all week long, and it was on my Spotify, and even worse, my daughter, she learned to sing, and she's like, Dad, please, can you put Jesus, yay again? And it was brilliant, and I just want to tell you that if you are looking for dance classes, so James, Archie, Emmanuel, Isaac over there in the back, they're going to open a dance class. Shol as well, and Bola, they are all, but especially James, where are you, my friend? That was incredible, wasn't it? I just need to say, yeah. Oma, your husband was hiding some talents over there that now we discovered is gone now. You see, look to Emmanuel over there with a face so serious. You would never believe they have all the talent. And it was incredible. Yeah, so good. But yeah, it was so good to have our International Sunday. The food after, thank God for multiplication, because there was a lot of people eating. And everyone, I think, was well fed. And thank you so much for bringing the food, for helping to organize, for taking time to prepare it. It's so good to be able to celebrate the beauty of the church together. Thank you so much for preparing the songs and the Cantonese prayer was so beautiful. We had so many beautiful moments. And that is church. This is church. And one last thing before I start saying, yeah, tomorrow is this lady's birthday over here. So, Janet, she's a huge blessing to us in this church. So please don't let her go home without giving her a good cuddle and pray for her and bless her, okay? Brilliant. I might ask, Murray, can you come back, please? I've been struggling with this word my entire week. And I was like, should we? You sure, Jesus? You wanted me to talk about this? And God has been changing. Please. I had in my mind previous another word that I wanted to talk this morning. But on the beginning of the week, and I share a little bit about this on Monday, we have a prayer meeting with the staff here in church. I said, I feel God changing what I would like to be talking and preaching. And whatever I was struggling, I'll be honest with you, because it's usually the kind of preaching that the next day my boss, Tim, gets a mail from saying, I don't think JP should have shared about this and everything. So it is. but it is, because it is usually a topic that we don't talk too much about in Bible, in our services. But I've been spending a lot of time visiting and meeting people, and there's something that is in my heart for a long time. How many people have been arrested in chains for many, many years? People that have been walking with God for so many years, but still, it feels like they've been 1, 2, 3, 5, 18 years arrested. And there is like a prison that they have been living. And I believe this morning, I believe God wants to bring us freedom. And it is something that we need. And I want to read together with us a story that is in Mark. But we need to understand that when we were singing, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name is above all the other names. We need to understand, because have you ever stopped to think why the name of Jesus has authority? He is God. But it doesn't have authority just necessarily because he is God. Philippians chapter 2, it says like this, and I want to read before we sing, and I want to sing just this part again, just for us to allow the Spirit to move in us. Have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. And he was talking about him, Philippians chapter 2. He says, because he was in very nature God, but he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. So because he paid the price, because he made himself servant, because he went for the cross and he paid for every single sin we were able to do in our life and the ones that we're going to do still. Because of that, therefore, it says over here, because of his choice to make himself a servant, to serve his brothers and sisters and to pay the price and to die on the cross, because of that, God exalted his name to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. So do you know why the name of Jesus has power? Because he has died and he paid the price for whatever are the things we are going through. And just for us, before I want to read together, we're going to read to Mark chapter 9. But can I just invite you for a minute, just for us to sing our voices. The melody will put us in the right key. But it's not me singing, it's a church singing. I just wanted to invite to close your eyes. And the same way that I have things in my life that I've been struggling for so many years, you also may have maybe anxiety, maybe fears, maybe, I don't know. But I know something this morning. As it says in Romans chapter 16, very soon God will crush your enemy from right under your feet. The things you've been under accusation, the things that you've been struggling, very soon your feet will be able to crush it, to crush the enemy, because God is for you. So can we just sing gently, but allowing the Holy Spirit to move among us. Let's declare this, your name. And please sing, okay? Your name. Now start declaring this to your fears. Your name, Jesus. Let's go again. Your name.
Lifted high, oh.
people sing. Your people sing. Only to the King of Kings. Only you will always be. Holy, holy forever. I believe God is already visiting people this morning. And we're going to read together the Bible. But I feel we're going to also do some more time of ministering at the end. But please, allow your heart to be sensible to the voice of God, okay? Thank you, my friend. I would like to invite you to open Mark chapter 9. And the reason why I've been feeling to talk about this morning, as I said, I've been walking with a lot of people, and I've been facing and seeing that there's so many people, including myself, that we stop believing in spiritual battles. I think we forget that we are spiritual beings. And therefore, I think we neglect the spiritual warfare that is happening out there. And the Bible says really clear to us that we need to pay attention, because the enemy, he stays around looking for someone to devour. And this is the truth. And I've been walking with people. I've been meeting a friend of mine, a great friend of mine, every other week. And he knows he's struggling at the moment with a huge mental health. And we were talking about the things that he struggles with, the mental health. And a lot of the things, they are just lies of the enemy. Lies, big lies. Big lies that we keep believing on them. For so many times, for so many years, there are lies and lies and lies that are spoken over us over and over and over again. And we start believing. That's why the Bible tells us that the enemy, the devil, is a liar. Not for us to know him, but it's know how to fight against him, because he will lie. He's going to be a good liar. And not only that, when you see people who are struggling with so many things, and then suddenly they come to church, and there's a light of a breakthrough, that is something starting to happen on someone's life, and you suddenly realize. And I was saying, I love my job, because my job, I am a pastor, and I can get to see people's life being transformed suddenly. Someone walking in shame and in fear, suddenly. There's a drop of light over there that just starts to make sense. And there's suddenly this breakthrough that comes into someone's life. And in Mark chapter 9, and what I want to tell you something, my friend, Jesus has authority. And do you believe on that? We are going on our series about Jesus. And I want to tell you something. Jesus has authority. And this morning, Jesus has authority to cast away our enemy. You are more than victorious in Jesus Christ. And I want to read together with you Mark chapter 9. It says like this. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them. Verse 19. Mark 9, I'm going to read 19 to 29. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd. 14. Is that right? Yeah, 14 to 29. Mark chapter 9, verse 14 to 29. Is the enemy trying to get away from here? When the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing about with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, Master, I brought to you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive away the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long should I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "He has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shaked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many have said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone inside, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can only come out only by prayer." Jesus, this morning we just ask the Holy Spirit to talk to us. Your word says that it is for freedom that you have set us free. And I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters that whatever they are facing for 5, 10, 18, 20 years, I believe that this morning it has come to an end. Because your name has authority to change everything, Jesus Christ. So we just ask the Holy Spirit to talk to us this morning, Father, in your name. Amen. This is pretty much the story that we are talking about. There was a crowd and they were arguing about something. And Jesus comes to them saying, "What is happening?" And say, and one father, he says, "Master, teacher, it's probably because of me. I brought to you my son at probably around his," because Jesus, when he says, "Bring me the boy," so probably around his 8, 9, 10 years old. And he says that my son, my boy, he has been possessed by a demon. And Jesus comes and asks him, "How long? How many years?" And says, so it is literally from childhood. So he's been under a lot of things, spiritual battles happening big time. And I did ask for the people that you have been teaching. I've been asking for the disciples to help me with something, but they just couldn't do anything. And Jesus replied to them, "My goodness, how long do I need to cope with your unbelief? How long do I need to cope with your lack of faith that I can do something, that something can happen?" So he said, "Bring the boy to me." And he says all those things. He says that this demon over here literally has been trying to kill him, has been trying to throw him on the fire, has been trying to kill him and throw him on the water. But if you can do something and take pity on us, please help us. And then Jesus replied to him, If I can. Everything is possible for someone who believes. And then he says this beautiful prayer that has been my prayer. Please, Jesus, can you help me with my unbelief? This long story, do you know, Have you ever heard, you probably have read the passage in the Bible when it says about the mustard seed? You probably know this story, right? Do you know when Jesus quoted this? What was happening for Jesus to quote this? So this story of the mustard seed that Jesus says, if you say to a mountain to move from here to there, it's going to happen. Do you know when Jesus said this? In this story. But written in Matthew chapter 17. So Jesus was not telling about the seed and the faith for you to be able to conquer your job. He was not talking about, although we can apply faith for everything. But that background that Jesus came and he shared with us about the seed, the faith as a mustard seed, he was talking about this story. And the disciples asked him, Jesus, why we were not able to cast away this demon? Why we're not able to do something for him? And Jesus says, because of your unbelief. And then he says, and he was talking about this demon that was not possible to do anything. He was not talking about something that was, yes, you're going to conquer everything, have faith for that. No, he was talking about this demon that was trying to kill this boy. And Jesus comes today and they say, look, if you have a faith the size of a little mustard seed, you're going to be able to tell this mountain, and the mountain was this spiritual battle that was in front of them, and you're going to be able to tell this mountain, mountain, go away from here. And what will happen? It will happen. Do not doubt it. Do not doubt it. Most of the times we don't even realize that actually when Jesus said about the mustard seed, he was saying, do you know the battles and the accusation that the enemy is bringing to you in front of you? Do you know the fears? Do you know the battles? You probably know a little bit of my story. When we were, my parents are pastors and starters of a church in Brazil called Salvaterra, where we come from. And one day we got into our home. And there was some witchcraft in our door that someone did against us. And we've been through a lot of things. And personally, I believe that those things don't have power for those who are walking with Jesus Christ. Let's just make that clear, okay? But we've been walking through a lot of things. And my father, he started to work with politicians at the time. And things have gone really bad. Really bad. I discovered that my parents' marriage was not okay and was not good when I was 12 years old. And I told already about this, how when I was 12 years old, I wrote my suicide letter because I wanted to punish especially my father for all the pain that we've gone through. And I was ready. I was ready for this. And I remember the day, the night, actually, when I gave my life to Jesus, he made a promise to me. He shared to me something that he said he was going to do. In the middle of the caves, I was over there. I gave my life to Jesus. I didn't want to come to church that day. My father was not living with us anymore. My mom took my brother and my sister to church. And I was there in my home. And I said, if there's a God over there, please talk to me because I need to find out before I die. And then that moment, Jesus spoke to me. And one of the things he said is, I'm going to fix your family. Your family will not be destroyed. And there was something that no prophet said. No man of God came to me and said this. God himself, Jesus, as I was giving my life to him, he told me back, your story is not this one. The story of a family is not this one. And I remember one of the things that were really difficult for me to go through is because it took so long. Like this child over here who were, since childhood, being under attack. I remember we did, and I say, birthday celebration of the mass, because we did our birthday celebration of the mass in our family for the first year, for the second year, for the third year, for the fourth year, for the fifth year. And I was talking this, no. When I wanted to lose hope, I was all the time over saying, God, please help me with my unbelief, because I know you said. And people were coming and giving my parents all sorts of advices. I said, no, come on, get married again, sort it out. You are entitled to it. And I said, but God, you said something to me. I know what you said. Six years have gone, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years. And I remember when we were literally 9 years of our mess in our family, of my parents' marriage, they were not together. When we were 9 years of that situation, I said, Jesus, I had enough. I give up. I give up because I know you said, I know it was your voice. And I have tried everything to mend it. I have tried to do everything according to my possibilities. I have tried to, but I can't. So I give my family back to you. Surrender. This is something that I can't do anything. No abilities or my own strength can do something. And I literally realized, maybe it took 9 years for that, but I realized now that this cast, this situation, only you, only prayer, only, there's nothing else I can do. And I remember that Jesus came to me and he said, took 9 years, but you understood what I needed to tell you. And now you're not going to celebrate the 10th birthday of the mess. I'm going to interview. And he did. And we didn't celebrate 10 years of the mess in my family because God restored completely the marriage of my parents. And my father, who were the person that I hated the most, is the guy that I love the most nowadays because we are not slaves of our fears anymore. We are not slaves of the attack of the enemy anymore. Because when Jesus comes, he comes to set us free. When Jesus enters a house, my friend, when Jesus enters someone's house, when Jesus enters into your life, the promise is that he's not going to leave anything undone. He's not. When Jesus enters someone's life, I don't know what are the concerns you're going through. I don't know what are the addictions you're going through. I don't know what are the fears. I don't know what are the mental pressure, the mental health, the depression. I don't know how many years you're taking medication. But I'll tell you something. There is a promise in Jesus Christ that is for you, that he is able to cast away your enemies in front of you. And he will do. And I believe you need to start being more brave and saying, let me tell you something. There are things in our life that is from the enemy. He's gonna, and Jesus is gonna take away from us. Because Jesus already said in John, and he already prayed and said that I didn't lose any of them, any of the ones you trusted my hands. And it doesn't matter if someone did that witchcraft and left in your door. And my goodness, because of that, look, my marriage is not broken and everything else. I don't know what it is. And I don't know if there's no belief on that anymore. Do you know what is really sad in churches nowadays? God became the result of our capacity of belief. God became what we are able to think about him. Jesus is not capable of any more of healing. I don't believe in healing because I prayed. It didn't happen, so Jesus doesn't heal anymore. My friend, isn't it sad that we become and we get this God that is all-powerful, that is all-almighty, and we turn him into something that is our capacity of belief that defines him. He is someone that, my friend, no longer, doesn't matter how many experiences you have, you will not be able to define him properly yet. He is something that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. No heart has ever thought about him. He is this God. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus comes and heals a woman that she was oppressed by one spirit for 1 year? No. 2 years? No. 3 years? No. 10 years? No. 15 years? No. 18 years. Do we have any of our youth over here who's 18? Natasha, you're 18 now? So Natasha, 18 years old. There's any other youth who is 18? So, yeah. So you guys are 18 years old. Dave, almost 18. next month, in January, actually, right? January 18. So can you imagine? It's not a few months of battle. This woman had entire the life of Natasha, 18 years old. It's not something that you had a terrible summer vacation or a difficult school year. We're talking about someone's entire life arrested under the attack of the enemy. And Jesus were able to come and straight immediately, when Jesus enters a place, he's able to do something and change it. I love also the story that is in Matthew chapter 8. This man, he had illness on his skin, leprosy, I think in the name in English, in the Bible. Thank you. And then he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus. And I love it. Let's read together Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds were following him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, he doesn't say if you can. No, he doesn't say if you can, because he knew he could. He had no problem to identify the power of God. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus reached out to his hands. My friend, no one would touch someone with leprosy. Jesus, on contrary, that's a difficult word. He comes, he touches him, and he doesn't reply, I can. No. He replies to him, I want. I am willing. My heart is full of compassion because I can see the many years. The many years of your struggles are not only able to do, but I want to. The mess in your finances, the mess in your life, the mess on your sorrows. I'm not only capable of doing it. I want to help you with your mental health. I want to help your children. I want to help you with your fears, with your struggles. I'm willing to. And I have authority for that. I have authority to enter your house and start putting in order everything that is out of order. And the last part that I want to read together with you. It is Mark chapter 5. Usually we feel afraid to talk about casting demons. I remember I used to be so frightened whenever someone was talking about this. I was really frightened until the moment that I was on a camp and I went to pray with one person and this person got possessed. And I was like, okay, now what do I do? I have no... And it was one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. She is nowadays married and she's a church leader. And I remember I was praying. I was literally. We were just praying for another, you know, the things that we... Please, don't be afraid to put hands in anyone, please. But literally, we were just laying hands on each other and everything. And literally, suddenly she got her head on my shoulder. I said, that's all right. Something's happened over here. And I saw that she was possessed. And then we started to pray. And it was a huge battle. She was involved with witchcraft and she was involved with a lot of things together. And it was the first experience on expelling demon in my life. And I remember we took her to a private room so there was more people praying. And God allowed a process to happen over there of many, many years involved in dark things. That God allowed us to... And one of the most beautiful moments when she was literally cast away, and it was not just one thing, it was a legion, it says in the Bible, and she was with her eyes closed, and my brother, he was with me on the room, and he was on the corner of the room, and suddenly she was with her eyes closed all the time. And suddenly she ran to where my brother was with her eyes closed. She knelt on my brother's feet, and she started to just hold my brother's feet and saying, "Jesus, you are here. Thank you because you are here." So something important for her on that moment was to be able to touch someone's feet. And she saw Jesus. It was not my brother she was seeing, but she was with her eyes closed. But Jesus enters a place. And my friend, let me tell you something. You need, Psalm says, can you do this movement, please? Can you? Yes. Can you do this movement? Because Psalm says that God in our life, He makes us walk with our heads up. And now can you do this, please? Yes. Do you know what is also a promise of your life? That very soon, your feet will crush the enemy that has been attacking you. That is the promise. The promise over this church that you no longer will walk with your head down. You are no longer someone who will walk in shame anymore, in accusation anymore. And even if it's been 5, 10, 18 years, your family will be restored. Your family will be restored. And for us to finish, Mark chapter 5. It's a really, I'm going to just tell the story because you all probably know the story. There was a man who also been under attack, spiritual attack. Jesus comes to the town. He was not close to that man. The story says over here that suddenly the man and the demons inside of him saw Jesus. And they ran to him and said, "Please, what have we done against you? Have mercy on us." They were saying, "Please, don't do anything to us." On the verse 6, when he saw Jesus from distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." Because Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." And there was a lot of mess in his life. There was a lot of, he says there was not just one, it was legion. It was more than one thing attacking him. And suddenly they asked him, "What?" He said, "Can you please allow us to go instead of cast away, to go to the pigs?" And what Jesus did? "Yeah, go ahead. Go for the pigs." And what happened to all the pigs? They run. All gone. We have farmers here in our church. I don't think they would be too happy if suddenly they lose all their sheep. If something happens and all the crops are cast away, I don't think you would like to lose your job. But these guys over here, the farmers, suddenly they lost everything they had. So they run and they were start to talk about what Jesus did. And they come back. And do you know what they did? When they saw that man free, someone they knew about him. They knew who he was. When they saw that man free, Bible says that they were afraid instead of rejoicing. Instead of rejoicing because that man was finally free, they were afraid. And what did they ask Jesus to do? They said, "Jesus, you're not welcome here. Leave our town, please." My friend, in our battles that we're going through, I believe this morning, I want to pray for us. Because I believe that so many of us, like my family were 1, 2, 3, 5 years, about to celebrate 10 years of something that was under attack of our family. I believe that people over here has been struggling with medication. Medication is not a problem. It can be a blessing. But I also believe that some people will be stopping to have medication for depression. I pray for that. I believe that some people over here with anxiety, heavy anxiety. And I'll tell you something, you are not slave of this anymore. If the Son has come to set you free, you're freely, you're indeed freely. But we're going to have to ask, help us with our unbelief. You maybe are someone who is asking this morning, Jesus, are you capable of doing something? Is it possible to do something? Look my health. Look my relationship with my children. Is it possible that something can happen over here? Ah, JP, I don't pray anymore. You don't know my story. I've prayed for this and it's been 20, 30 years and I never saw any changes. Yeah, I pray for my relatives. I pray for my children, but they are not coming to Christ. My friend, this morning I want to tell you that your enemy is under your feet. The enemy that keeps telling you that there is no salvation for your family, he is under your feet right now. The enemy that has been putting you under attack, he is under your feet. I don't believe that anyone who follows Jesus Christ, who have the Spirit, can ever be possessed. Ah, JP, so do you think I'm possessed? If you are a son of God, it's impossible for you to be possessed. But we are oppressed in many different ways. And I believe that Jesus wants to cast away from our life anything that is the enemy bringing. Do you know the fears of the day of tomorrow? People who can't leave bed in the morning. I know people that are struggling with this. They struggle to leave the bed in the morning. People who are struggling with drinks. People who are struggling with so many things. We all have things we are struggling that the enemy brings over our life. And my prayer is, Jesus, please help me with my unbeliefs. Do you know why doubting is not a sin? Having doubts is not a sin, but doubting is a sin. Having doubts can be just a consequence of the challenge you're facing. You see this huge wall in front of you, and you say, well, this wall is too big. That's a natural response. But when you have doubts that something can happen, what you're actually saying is, God, you are not strong enough to sort it. That's why, my friend, if you have doubts that something can happen, please don't allow your heart to doubt that God can do something. Because He can. Because whatever are the things you're facing, God is bigger than that. He has authority. As we read in the beginning, His name, therefore, the Father exalted. Let's have a stand. The truth over your God is this one. Therefore, God exalted the name of Jesus to the highest place. My friend, who are giving you the final words? Who gave you the final words to you? Who are you believing? Why the voice of the doctors are the last one you believe? Oh, but the doctor said it's impossible. I have some friends who are going through a process of adoption. And they were told by everyone they could not keep it, the baby. And they came to our house to pray. And I said to them, unless God tells you no, you don't accept no from anyone. If God tells you no, don't try at all. But if God doesn't say to you no, don't doubt that He can do something. Because He can. Because His name is above all the other names. His name is above all the other names. The enemy is telling you, your daughter won't make it. Your son won't make it. No, it's too much mess that he's involved with. Unless God says something, don't believe on it. This morning, ask God, God, please help me with my unbeliefs. If you change job, you're not going to be able to maintain yourself, support yourself. If you make time for God, you'll never be free from these things you use in your life. You've been using for so many years. Everything is possible for the person who believes. Everything is possible. And in this process, we may need to pray for one another. Mario, can you just play again? My friend, it's practical life. I may hide my things, you may hide your things. And suddenly 20 years have gone with me hiding my things and you hiding your fears. When we could have lived 20 years free. We all have things that needs improving in our life, but Jesus wants to. He is willing. He is willing. Keith, my friend, and Marisol, I think there is a new season reaching your house. And I want to give you guys this word this morning. It has not been an easy last couple of years. A lot of things have been, and it feels like a wind have come. But God is reminding your house about seeds and promises He have said. And I believe that He is restoring joy that the enemy have tried to steal. And you're going to be known as the people who walk with a smile on your face. Because the enemy, he will be embarrassed to be in front of you. Bible says that Jesus, the Father, He prepares a table in front of our enemies. And I believe God saying that over your house, He is placing a table in front of your enemies on your front door. And the things that you were, that you felt even embarrassed, you will laugh with joy. Because all the promises He made, He will fulfill it. He will fulfill in your life, my friend. Over your house, John, my friend, the promises are still the same. The enemy keeps saying, it's been many years, there's no rope anymore. It's been too long. The things were said were too heavy. There's no space for forgiveness anymore. But God is saying, there is nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible. Can you look at Jesus this morning and say, please help me with my unbelief? I really would love to have this thing cast away of my life. And my sister, you in the back with glasses. Yes. My sister, God wants to talk to you. And He sees where you are. And He's saying that your time is coming. Things you always dreamed but you never thought would be able to. God is saying to you that your time is coming. He sees you where you are. He sees you where you are. Your family will not be destroyed. Thank you, Shirley, for praying for your family. I want one day to pray like Shirley. I want to pray for my family like you do. I want to be able to maintain a prayer for my family for many years. Until I either die or see something happening. Thank you for being an encouragement of prayer for us. Do not stop praying. Do not stop praying. Do not stop praying. Why are you doubting? Why are you doubting that the Lord can cast away your enemies? Why are you doubting that the Lord can do something? Help me with my unbeliefs. We will leave this. We're not going to sing. It's just a melody. But my friend, if you want, if you want someone to pray with you, also if you want just to pray on yourself and ask Jesus to help your unbelief, it's all good. That's not a one methodology that works. But I believe there's people over here this morning that have been struggling with things for 18, 20 years that Jesus wants to restore you. It's this morning. You know, there's a chance for you to go home, change it with your beliefs. So if you want, we have even people with, you can see some cards. They've been prayed and they've been blessed and recognized here in the church as people who are ready to pray with you. Ministering team. So if you want someone to pray with you, you can either come here in the front. If you want someone to pray for your family, maybe your family is struggling with something for so many years. You don't need to celebrate 10 years of mess. You don't. God can do something this morning. So please just allow this melody to enter your house. And if you want prayer, just raise your hand or come over here. Or if you want to pray by yourself with Jesus, He loves to listen to your voice as well. The Lord is giving you a word and ask. Tree, can you come over here, please? Yeah. Can you close your eyes, please, for a minute, okay? Pray where you are. Let's fight for our families. If you can see someone that is standing by himself, let's fight for our families this morning. Pray for your family right now, my friend. You have someone in your family who doesn't know Jesus. Pray for this person right now. Who do you know that is walking away from Jesus? Why? It's time for you to laugh at the face of your enemy. He told you there was no salvation for your children. Laugh at his face. He told that there's no expectation for your mental health. Laugh at his face. Tell him that you're the one that is for you so much bigger. Let's pray. Let's keep you. You don't give up the things you love. Don't give up your family. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. If you have been praying for relatives who are not walking with Jesus, if you can just lift up your hands like this, I want to pray with you. We want to pray as a church together. If you're praying for relatives who are walking away from Jesus, we want to pray together and to declare that the enemy is under our feet and he will be ashamed in front of us. Father, right now, you are a God of families. You love family. You have built yourself a family. And there's people over here right now this morning that are so tired for praying for so many years. They are almost losing the hope. But Jesus, this morning, you are visiting. You are saying that you have heard each one of their prayers. And you are putting people around those we love that are walking away from you. We pray for them. We pray for salvation. We pray for courage. We pray for an encounter with you. We pray for friends that are Christian walking with them. We will be able to say that as for me and my house will serve the Lord. Can you say that? Me and for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. Salvation is in your hands. Prophesy that. Pray for them. In the name of Jesus. We're going to be finishing the service. We're not in a rush. The kids are probably needing them to pick it up. But if you want some more time of prayer, we are not in a rush. Please. We're going to have coffee and tea. But we're still here for longer. We just would love to pray with you, to walk with you this journey. In the name of Jesus.